Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Froward means twisted. It's talking about the person that takes a truth and twists it to fit their own agenda, or their own purpose. Put away from thee a froward mouth. The Bible tells you to get away from that kind of a person. They're not your friend. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. Isn't that interesting? If you have a froward heart, if your heart is twisted, it's not sincere, you're going to find fault with everything. You never can find anything good. The froward heart findeth no good. They're a constant critic, a constant source of slander and backbiting. Why? Because they have a froward heart. And he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Are you still with me? Do I need you to stand up and get the blood going a little bit? A froward man or woman soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Every fool. The word for fool in the Hebrew is tantamount to the word rebel or rebellious person. There are people in the congregation that do not want to submit to pastoral authority. They want to be in charge. They want to be in charge. And they use a legitimate fellowship, a legitimate church, as the case may be, in order to try to build their own fellowship, because they are a rebel. Every fool, every rebel will be meddling. Meddling in other people's business, meddling in other people's affairs, meddling in the position of the pastor where they have no place to be. But it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. I've sensed the tension in the fellowship over the last couple months. We haven't had many professions of faith over the last couple months. Why? The Holy Spirit has been grieved and quenched because of the scorners and the rebels and the meddlesome talebearers who've been out in the congregation with their tongues just a-wagging all week long on the telephone after church, picking apart the pastor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. In case you're wondering, I would rather have 10 people. I'd rather preach to 10 people who love truth, who love God, who love their pastor, who love liberty, who are not guilty of hate and anger, and they're not meddlesome, busybody, talebearers, than to stand in front of 10,000 people with a bunch of contentious people in the audience. Numbers means nothing. What means something is our hearts, our love, our spiritual camaraderie. Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. When the talebearer leaves, the church can have some peace. And there's not a pastor listening to me right now that's not saying amen, whether anybody else is or not. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. A proud heart stirreth up strife. The proud heart. I can do it better. Pastor doesn't know what he's doing. I know more. I'm smarter. I know the Bible more. I'm more spiritual. I'm more godly. I'm more holy. I'm more righteous than the pastor. First Corinthians 3:3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men or as unsaved men? What we have in America mostly today is a Corinthian church. Churches that are filled with division and envying and strife and gossip and slander. And backbiting. James 3:14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, don't brag about that. And they never do. They'll always couch it in spiritual sounding platitudes. Oh, they're so pious and holy and righteous. Their heart is full of envy and bitterness and strife, jealousy. James 3:16. This is a good one that some of you may find helpful. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If you're confused about things, guess where it came from? It came from envying and strife that was put there by the devil himself. Why? Because God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author. The devil's the author of confusion. And he uses people to plant confusion in our minds, in our hearts. And the principal tool is strife. Romans 15:6. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a fellowship, that's what we should desire. Have one heart, one mind, one soul, striving together for the gospel and for the principles of truth. Hey, you know what? Truth. The principles of truth don't change. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Philippians 1:27. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you may stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. It doesn't mean, Paul's not naive. He doesn't mean by that that people aren't going to have differences of opinion. It doesn't mean that people are going to agree on everything all the time. Nobody expects that. But that's not the point. Having one mind and one heart and being of one accord in the principles of truth and the truth of God's word and the laws that he's given to us, that is what unites us. And if we have disagreements one with another, if we have the right heart, and we have the right spirit, and we have the right mind, our differences will be shown to be whatever is correct or whatever is false. It'll be highlighted. Hey, wait a minute. If we have the right heart and the right mind and the right soul, it means if our opinion is shown to be inaccurate, we are willing to admit it. Right? Are your opinions your God? Are your opinions what you think is truth? Or do you have a heart open to what is true and you adjust your opinions accordingly as God reveals more truth to you? There are a lot of things that I used to believe many, many years ago that I don't believe today. Things that I didn't believe years ago that I do believe today. Because as I matured and as I studied and as I learned and prayed, and my heart was always open to truth. And God, in his time, showed me what was true. And I'm sure that there are things right now that I believe that are not accurate. I'm not talking about fundamentals. I'm not talking about basics. But we all form opinions. And sometimes those opinions are proven to be right. Sometimes those opinions are proven to be wrong. If you have a proud, arrogant spirit, you'll never admit that you were wrong. You'll never admit it. And these people that are on the internet today that are hoping and wishing and praying that it was an unlawful death of Mr. Finnegan because they're anti-government haters, even if the evidence proved that it was a justified death, they will never admit it. They will never admit it. Because they don't have an honest heart. First Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know, when these people get together in these strife-driven fellowships, they laugh and they talk and they read the Bible and they pray and they act holy and they eat and they have lunch or dinner, whatever it is. And I know what the menu always, I always know what's on the menu. Roast chuck. Guarantee you. That's on the menu. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. See, you really don't want to come to the fellowship and have a flatterer in the pulpit, do you? Come on. But that's what happens everywhere. Flattery. flattery. Pastors use that to endear themselves. They flatter people, stroke people. And that's what these talebearers do. They flatter people. Oh, you're so wonderful. They just stroke you. Make you feel like, oh, you're special, or they think you're special. And they're just talebearers. They're slanderers. They don't really think you're wonderful. They want to use you for their purposes. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates it. God wants to unify the church. The devil wants to divide it. He that soweth discord among brethren is one of the things that God hates. I wouldn't stand in the shoes of some of these people, these tale-bearing, gossiping, slandering people, for all of the money in the world. They're going to face a holy, righteous God one day. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. First Peter 4:15. Listen to this one. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Do you see the association there that the Holy Spirit uses? Murder, thief, evildoer, busybody. Same group. Because what you're doing is you're murdering people's characters, people's honor, people's integrity, people's reputation. You're murdering. You're stealing people's honor. You're stealing people's love and their hearts and their loyalty. And there's always innocent people that get caught up in it. Always. Innocent people that don't know any better. They're not spiritually mature enough, or they have given to gullibility or whatever, and they are the victims. Murder, thief, evildoer, busybody. Wow. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. 1 Timothy 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. Well, now they can do that by the telephone. They don't have to walk. Wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. 1 John 2:19. This is a hard one. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. When they left, they proved they weren't really of us to begin with. If they were truly of us to begin with, they would have never left. Their hearts would have been right. And then here is a passage of scripture that I had to learn the hard way many, many, many years ago. And ever since, I've never forgotten it. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus, he went through a lengthy discourse that was very hard for people to listen to. It was a hard message. Verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his what? Disciples. Many. Not a few. Many of his disciples. When they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Wow, that was a hard sermon. Wow, that was hard. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it in their hearts, they murmured at it in their hearts, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" And then skip down to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, "Please don't go." Is that what he said? I told you before, I don't beg anybody to come to Liberty Fellowship, and I don't beg anybody to stay at Liberty Fellowship. You have to know why you're here. You have to know why you're here. You have to understand the purpose. You have to have a conviction in your soul that these principles of freedom and liberty that we preach to the world every Sunday is worth it. And that whatever the petty things might be or the things that the devil might use to divide us will not divide us. And we will together stand as those in love with freedom, in love with liberty, in love with justice, and most importantly, in love with our Savior. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said to the 12, now you can imagine, here's a scene, thousands, probably at least hundreds around. Many of these claimed to be Jesus' disciples. They had walked with him to that point. "Oh, you're the greatest. We love you. We're with you." And he preached a hard sermon. And they got offended. And they walked away. And I'm sure that Jesus, as they are walking away, turned to the 12 and said, "Fellas, they're all leaving. You want to join them? You want to go with them?" He tested them, tested their loyalty, tested their dedication, their commitment. There was a temptation. Were some of those people friends of Peter, James, and John, do you think? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe even kinfolk. How do we know? No idea. But they knew these people. And they watched them walk away. And Jesus said, "Fellas, you want to go? Now's the time to go. I mean, look at the wave. It's moving in that direction." And Simon Peter, who said a lot of things wrong and who Mr. Foot and Mouth himself many times, he got it right this time. He said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." I submit to you that what's important is not the personality of the person that stands in front of you. Because we are all sinful, Adamic flesh. Sin nature, lacking in so many things. We are human. We make mistakes. Don't always get it right. But the words of truth are immutable, unchanging, eternal. In a day and age when people are flocking to churches because of programs, gymnasiums, recreation, entertainment, music, smoke, mirrors, all kinds of attractions, just like corporate America, just like Disney World and entertainment centers in the world, they have all these things to attract people. That's what churches are doing. That's not what we're about. We are about, and as long as I have breath, and as long as there's 10 people sitting out in front of me, maybe I got enough family for that, so I could. I started with family 41 years ago, so I guess we could end with family 41 years later. What this is all about is the words of truth. The Word of God, the natural laws of God, the eternal principles of God, and doing our best, even though I'm sure we fail, doing our best to apply those principles to our lives today in whatever way that is necessary. So if nothing else for Liberty Fellowship, if nothing else came out of the unfortunate incident in Oregon, I'm talking about this fellowship, it provided your pastor with an opportunity to go through those fundamental tenets of biblical and natural law, which I spent the most of the time in that first message concerning, so as to give you a foundation in your heart and in your soul to know how to proceed as we go forward in this very complicated world in which we live. And by the way, I'm not done teaching those principles. There are many of those principles that I only was able to highlight, and I will delve more deeply. Talking about those principles of truth. Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you looked into Chuck Baldwin as a perfect human being, keep looking. And if you ever get to that point of, I don't know what you call it, that you think that I am, and you want a real little dose of reality, all you got to do is talk to my wife. She will set the record straight post haste. But by the way, we could talk to your wife too, so don't look at me that way. It's not about personality. It's not about a total agreement on every issue or every point. Liberty Fellowship was born as a platform raised up by God to preach and teach the immutable, fundamental principles and truths of biblical and natural law, especially as they relate to the liberties and freedoms of our people and our future. That was our goal from day one. It's our goal today. It will be our goal from now on. Without ill will, without any ill feelings against anyone, it's a fact. No matter what fellowship you're in, what church, the froward heart, strife, gossip, slander, meddlesome, backbiting is a curse on the church that God cannot and will not bless. And we either have to get our hearts right in that area if we are prone to that and let God cleanse us of that, or if not, God will remove us, properly so, from the fellowship, because it's a cancer that will destroy the body. We have to be united. We have to love each other. We have to serve together in a spirit of bond, in a spirit of peace, in a spirit of love, in a spirit of fellowship, so that God can use us as one heart and one mind and one voice to be a voice to everyone who's listening to us. If Liberty Fellowship is not the place where you can give your heart and give your mind and give your love and loyalty and support, then the only honest thing to do is to find a fellowship that you can. And if there isn't any fellowship out there that suits you and it's good enough for you, then go start your own. But I tell you this, any fellowship that starts out with strife and division and talebearing and gossip is not a fellowship that God has anything to do with. Furthermore, we all need to examine our hearts, our own hearts, and make sure that when these things come before us, that we keep our hearts where they should be and not allow another heart to take our heart from the place God would have it to be. God leads us, each one. And may God help us as a fellowship to continue to go forward. So many people look to us, love us, pray for us. Next Sunday, I want to put this behind me. And I want to start getting back to teaching those fundamental principles that I've been teaching and being that spokesman and using this platform that God has called us to. But I don't run from things. I cannot turn a blind eye when things happen. I have to deal with it as a pastor, which I have done. Let's stand for prayer.